This new series is titled Faith Undaunted, and it's a series that God laid on my heart back in March and April of 2016. And I had scheduled it to begin preaching it on my calendar in September of last year, the first Sunday in September. But it was over that summer that I learned that I was going to need surgery, and it was on August 29th when I went in for surgery that I found out that I had cancer. So while I was preparing this series on Faith Undaunted, it's about faith that is tried in the fire and comes forth much more precious than gold. While I was preparing that, the Lord kept saying to me, "This is for you." And I kept saying to the Lord, "But I'm not going through anything." Because at that time, I didn't know there was anything serious wrong with me. I only thought I had some digestive issues. And so I kept saying to the Lord, "There's nothing wrong with me." And the Lord, every time I would go back to preparing these messages, God says, "I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you." God is so wonderful, so merciful, so gracious, so faithful that he ministers to us and he answers us before we even have a need. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I pray that these messages will be a blessing to you, because I know that there are many who are going through their own fiery trials. And I pray that this will strengthen and encourage your hearts. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter 1. We're going to read verses 6 through 7 in a moment. This morning's message is titled Fiery Trials. Fiery Trials. There's a great GPS navigation app called Waze, and it uses a social media platform where drivers in your area can share real-time traffic and road information, including where there's an accident, where there are delays, traffic tie-ups, detours, and even speed traps. And this app can help you to save time, to find the clearest and quickest route to where you need to go. It can help you to avoid traffic jams and headaches, and we won't talk about speed traps, amen, because none of us speed. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. But wouldn't it be great if we had a similar app that could help us avoid problems and difficulties and live a trouble-free life? You know, maybe sometimes we think that serving Christ should enable us to live a trouble-free life. But to the contrary, the Bible clearly tells us that as Christians, we are not immune to trouble. We don't have to look hard in the pages of Scripture to find story upon story of righteous servants of God suffering trials. Job, who God himself testified was a righteous man, Job loses his wealth, his children, and his health, and then his wife turns against him. Joseph, who God would later use in a great way, suffers being thrown into a pit and almost murdered by his brothers, being sold into slavery, falsely accused of rape, and then being put in prison for many years. Jeremiah, the great prophet of God, is imprisoned for preaching the truth of God. And later on, he is left in an empty cistern, a big container, to collect rainwater. And he is thrown into this cistern to die, to allow the rainwater to rise and eventually drown him. And the three Hebrew children, they're thrown into the fiery furnace. Daniel, the great prophet of God, he's thrown into the lion's den. All of these individuals were servants of God. They were people of faith. They loved the Lord. And we could go on. There's many more in the pages of Scripture. But Psalm 34:9 tells us the righteous person may have many troubles. It didn't say the righteous person will have no troubles. It said the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord, that makes all the difference. But the Lord delivers him from them all. Folks, we will have many troubles in this life, but the promise is that God will come through for us. God will deliver us. And that was certainly the case in the life of Job and Jeremiah and Joseph and Daniel and the three Hebrew children. We see that scripture being realized in their lives. And in John 16:33, Jesus encouraged us. He encouraged his followers, saying, "I have told you these things." He told us we were going to have trouble. "So that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. The Bible doesn't make us some pie-in-the-sky promise of a trouble-free existence. But it does give us hope and help in the time of trouble. It tells us that as Christians, we can face trials with a supernatural grace and power that those without Christ do not have available to them. See, trouble is an inevitable part of the faith walk. It's an inevitable part of life. And 1 Peter was written to prepare Christians for suffering. Read with me, if you will, 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Isn't it an oxymoron that you find rejoicing and grief in the same sentence? In the same sentence. Verse 7. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You know, at the time that Peter wrote this letter, the Christians throughout that region had begun to be persecuted. They were being arrested, they were being questioned, they were being pressured to renounce their faith in Christ, and if they refused, many of them were tortured, beaten, imprisoned, and some were even executed for the sake of Christ. And Peter is writing to these believers to prepare them because the trials were only going to get hotter, more difficult. So he writes to prepare them so that their faith will be unshaken, undaunted, undaunted. As Christians, you know, sometimes we have this idea, this false conception, that our faith should exempt us from trials. We think that because we are saved and because we are a child of God, that we will be protected from problems. And don't get me wrong, there are many things that God protects us from, things that we are not even aware of. But we do experience problems in this life. It was that kind of erroneous thinking that we should be exempt from trouble that almost caused the psalmist to lose his faith in Psalm 73. It says that when he considered the wicked and how they prosper, and the righteous, how they were afflicted, he began to wonder, what benefit is there in serving God? And he said, my foot almost slipped, I almost fell, until I went to the house of the Lord, and he showed me their end. He showed me their end. You see, he felt as though his faith was in vain. What is the use of serving God if you're going to have to go through all of this? But the difference is seen in the end. In the end. And this is why Peter tells us to expect trials, so that we will not be surprised when they come upon us. Folks, I hate to burst your bubble, but every Christian will go through troubles. In fact, if you haven't gone through one yet, I want to meet you because you are unique. And if you haven't gone through one yet, pack a lunch because it's coming. It's coming. Trials come in many shapes and forms. A loss of a job, a breakup of a marriage, financial difficulties, a wayward child, a period of depression, a time of persecution for your family. Many shapes and forms. And some trials last weeks, some months, some even years. But however long they last, Peter says, it's only for a little while. It's only for... How can he say that, Pastor? I've been going through this for 3 years. I've been going through this for 5 years. Well, in light of eternity, it's only for a little while. Amen? It's only for a little while. You know, something when I was going through my trial, everything they told me I had to go through, every side effect they told me, when I lost my hair, whatever it was, I would say, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. Every new thing I experienced, this too shall pass. And folks, it's past. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wasn't easy going through it, but it's past. Hallelujah. It's only for a little while in light of eternity. But of course, when we're going through it, it seems forever. Amen. Right now, it seems forever for my hair to grow back. Amen. But I'm thankful that I'm alive to worry about my hair growing back. But Peter tells us here that trials are necessary. In the New International Version, verse 6 says, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. In the Greek, it literally says, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. I want us to think about those words right now, if necessary. You see, it implies that trials come as God deems them necessary in our life. And this presents a perplexing question to us. Does God will trouble and suffering to come into our life? Does God will trouble and suffering to come into our life? And the answer is a definitive no and yes. No and yes. No, in that God is not the source of our troubles. He gets no delight in our pain and our suffering. And we see that in the story of Job, that this truth is clearly illustrated. God was not the source of Job's suffering. Satan was the cause of all of the adversity, all of the loss, all of the pain, all of the anguish that Job went through. But yes, in that God permitted Satan to afflict Job within limits. Thank God for those limits. You see, and the necessity of these trials is to fulfill a divine purpose in our lives. As Peter expresses in verse 7, he says, these have come so that. These have come so that. They have come for a purpose, for a reason. And then he proceeds to reveal several reasons that make trials necessary in the life of a Christian. First of all, trials have the potential to produce growth. To produce growth. Trials are our greatest teacher. Malcolm Muggeridge, a journalist who became a Christian, wrote toward the end of his life, "Contrary to what might be expected, I look back on experiences that at the time seemed especially desolating and painful with particular satisfaction. Indeed, everything I have learned, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my existence has been through affliction and not through happiness." He said, everything I've learned has come through affliction and not through happiness. Martin Luther, the great church reformer, not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther from church history, who was a great reformer, he described adversity as the very best book in my library. The very best book in my library. Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite preachers of all time, said, trials teach us what we are. They dig up the soil and let us see what we're truly made of.
Come on, Pastor.
Trials teach us what we are, what we have made of. You see, you may have thought that you were spiritually strong, but in the fire of trial, you'll see how strong you really are. You may have thought that you have overcome certain things in your life. You may have overcome anger. You may have overcome a need to be in control. Or you may have overcome anxiety or may have overcome fear. But it is in the fire of trial.
Wow, that's good.
When you're going to see whether you've really overcome those things.
Good.
Trial will cause us to learn things about ourselves that we would never otherwise have known. It'll show us who we are. And trials teach us to appreciate the blessings of God. Sometimes in the good times, we can take for granted all the blessings that God gives us. But trials teach us to value the blessings of God. Every morning, I wake up and I say, thank you, God, for the gift of life. Thank you that I have the health and strength to be able to get out of bed and go about my day. Things that perhaps I took for granted before, but I have a deeper appreciation for them now. There was a man who was going through a dark time in his life, and he said, I used to think I needed so much. A good job, a good house, a nice car, but now I have nothing. And I've realized I no longer need a six-figure job. I just want a job that I can pay my rent and live.
Amen. That's good.
You see, trials change your perspective. Change your perspective. And trials teach us obedience. Hebrews 5:8 says that even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. What is being pictured here is Jesus' agony in the garden when he sweat, the scripture says, as it were, drops of blood as he wept and he cried out to God for deliverance. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But in the end, he surrendered, saying, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That was a lesson of obedience that he had learned. Submission, surrender. He chose to submit and to be obedient to God. When we go through trial, do we rail and rebel against God?
No.
Or do we say, Lord, I give you my life.
Hallelujah.
My life is in your hands. You are in control. See, the word trials in 1 Peter 1:6 is the Greek word perasmos. It is translated test or trial or temptation, and it depends on the context of the verse. But what I want us to see is that the same problem or difficulty can be both a trial and a temptation. James 1, 13 through 14 tells us that God never tempts anyone, and that temptation rises out of the fleshly desires and sinful inclinations of our heart. You see, Satan's intent, because he is the one that tempts, Satan's intent is to use this problem or this difficulty to play upon our fleshly nature and cause us to turn from God, cause us to choose disobedience, cause us to choose anger, cause us to choose rebellion, cause us to choose sin. That's what he wanted to do with Job. He said, if you take your hand of blessing away from Job and allow me to afflict him, he will curse you. You see, this is what Satan wants to do with temptation in our life. But God uses the very same circumstance, the trial, to strengthen us and to perfect us. But trials present us with a choice. Will we pray or will we complain? Will we seek God or will we become bitter towards Him? Will we trust God or will we rebel against Him? The same experience can have vastly different results depending on how we choose to respond. When we choose in the midst of trial to seek God, to draw close to Him, to trust Him, to submit ourselves to Him, we are learning obedience. We are learning to choose God's way rather than our way. You see, trials are intended to make us grow. God uses trials to stretch our faith. God's purpose in our trials is to not make our faith fail. He gets no praise out of that. He gets no delight in our failure. God wants to expand our faith. In fact, He assures us that He will never allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to bear, but will always provide a way out so that we can endure that trial. God does not want our faith to fail. God does not want us to fail in the midst of trial, and He'll never allow us to be tried beyond the limit of what He knows will break us. Trials are intended to help us to grow. And it helps us grow in two ways. They reveal and they reinforce our faith. Peter's a great illustration of this. In the midst of the storm, Peter is the only disciple that had enough faith to step out of the boat. Jesus used the storm to help Peter grow in faith, to expand his faith, to step out and walk on the water. But the storm also revealed the limit of Peter's faith when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to look at the blustery wind and the storm-tossed waves and he began to sink. But the storm reinforced Peter's faith because he was the only one who trusted Jesus to step out of the boat, and when he trusted Jesus, he was able to walk on the water, and so his faith was increased. Hallelujah!
My God.
Jesus said, come. And when he believed Jesus' word, God held him up and he walked on the water. And folks, when the storm is coming against our life, if we will believe the word of God, God will hold us up and enable us to walk on top of the very thing that is threatening us. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And our faith will increase. God's purpose in testing us is not to make us fail, but to reveal the quality of our faith and to reinforce our faith, to help our faith to grow.
That's good.
It has often been said, faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. You know, you can say, I believe, and you can quote all kinds of scriptures in the time of blessing. But what do you do in the time of trouble. Do you still declare by faith that the word of God is true? You see, I shared, I think it was last week, that during my time that I was going through treatment for cancer, someone texted me and kind of insinuated that since I've preached healing all these years, do I still believe in healing? Folks, I want you to know that while I was going through the trial, I believe in healing more today than I have ever believed, because I saw God's healing grace protecting me against the ravages of chemo, protecting me against the ravages of radiation, so that I did not experience most of the side effects they told me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I am more convinced of His healing power today than I have ever been. You see, faith that cannot be tested,
my God,
cannot be trusted.
Come on, Pastor.
Folks, if you can't test it, how do you know it's real?
Right.
When trials come and your faith is not genuine, what happens? What happens? You either fall apart, or you begin to become angry and rail against God. How could God allow this to happen to you? How could God do this? You begin to rail against God. You become disappointed with God. What's the use of serving you? And you may quit. You may quit coming to church. You may quit praying. You may quit reading the Bible. You may quit serving God altogether. Or you may turn to earthly means of help. You may find relief or seek relief in other ways, perhaps the old ways of your life.
Come on, Pastor. Good, devil.
Testing proves the genuineness and the strength of our faith. Faith is like a muscle. When you exercise it, it grows. When we are tested, if we submit to God, if we hold fast to Him and His word in faith, we will find that He is sufficient for us, that everything that He has spoken is true, and our faith will grow stronger than it has ever been before. Hallelujah. Secondly, trials have the potential to purify our faith. You see, trials, the scripture says, are like the refiner's fire. In verse 7, Peter compares the testing of our faith to gold that has been tested or refined by fire. Because when gold is mined from the ground, it is mixed with all sorts of different kinds of impurities, different kinds of rock material. And the gold has to be placed in fire and heated to very high temperatures so that the impurities will burn up and float to the top as what is called dross or ash. And the refiner can then skim off all of that ash. And this process is repeated at higher temperatures to increase the purity of gold. That's how you get 10 karat gold or 12 karat gold or 14 karat gold. It depends on how many times the process has been repeated and how the temperature has been increased to burn off more and more impurities. Folks, when we go through trials, we are going through the refiner's fire of affliction, and it burns out. It removes the impurities of pride. It removes the impurities of dependency on self. It removes murmuring. It removes bitterness. It removes anything in us that is not pleasing to God. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And trials make us more useful for God. When the gold has first come out of the ground, it's not good for much, and it's not worth much because it's all so mixed up with rock and impurities. But when the gold has been passed through the fire, it becomes liquid, and it easily takes any shape or form into which it is poured. The refiner generally pours the gold into molds, whether he's making gold coins or gold bars. Whether a jeweler is making jewelry, they can heat the gold to make it more pliable. When we are tested by fire, we become pliable in the master's hands so that he is easily able to mold us and shape us according to his will, perfecting us into his character so that our lives may be more useful for him. You see, the more God desires to use you, the more you will experience the fire of affliction. Because God has to purify us, has to shape us, and has to mold us. Thirdly, trials have the potential to produce praise. Now, those are two words we don't often like to use together, trials and praise. But in verse 7, Peter writes that when your faith is tested, that it may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want you to see that trials bring praise to God as others watch the testimony of our life. Our co-workers, our neighbors, our family members, our brothers and sisters in Christ, they are all watching the way we live and the way we go through trial. They may not seem open or receptive when we share our faith. They watch from a distance to see how we respond when we face difficulty. They want to see if what you have been saying, if these testimonies that you have shared, if it's really true. Do you really believe?
Yes.
Will it really work? And when they see a believer's faith stand firm in the midst of hardship, it proves that our faith is genuine and it makes an impact, drawing them one step closer. Oh, they may not come immediately. They may not come immediately, but Christ has been revealed in their life. When we come through the trial and we share how we have found strength and help in God, folks, I've had family members from afar who were keeping in touch with me from Facebook, and they're not saved. And in time past, when I've tried to witness to them, they would not listen. But when they would check in with me to see how I was doing, I would just begin to testify. Thank you so much for your concern over me. Let me tell you that I've not had this side effect. I've not had that side effect. And I know that it's the hand of God. And every time, and then they would respond back and I would respond back. And I got so much opportunity to testify of God and His healing grace in my life to those who would not otherwise have listened. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. See, our trials can result in praise to God. Trials bring praise when others watch your life. And trials bring praise, glory, and honor to us when Christ returns. You see, when we endure suffering and remain steadfast in faith, it pleases God. There is an eternal reward that awaits those who endure trials in faith. Peter tells us that God will praise you, that God will glorify you, that God will honor you for your faithfulness in enduring trials. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we see Christ, someone has said that will be the ultimate triumph. The ultimate validation of our faith, far beyond anything that we have suffered in this brief life. Hallelujah. See, these temporary afflictions are working a much greater weight of glory in our lives. Hallelujah. As the worship team comes back, no one likes trials. As Peter says, they cause grief. They bring sorrow. They bring pain in our lives. But at the same time, he said we can greatly rejoice because we know that our suffering is not random, that our suffering has a purpose. We can greatly rejoice because we know that our trials are necessary to help us grow spiritually, to purify our faith, to bring glory to God, and that when we endure faithfully, God will one day reward us. Hallelujah. So Peter says, let's rejoice today. Let's basically say, God, whatever you think is necessary, whatever it takes for me to grow spiritually, whatever it takes to purify my faith, whatever it takes to teach me greater obedience, whatever it takes to bring praise to your name, have your way in me. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us in every trial that we face. Thank you, Lord, that you set limits on what the enemy can do. And you will never allow us to be tested above what we are able to bear. And thank you that you always make a way of escape for us. There's always a way that you provide for us to endure and come out of this trial. Lord, we humble ourselves before you right now. I know that there are many in this room that in this very moment of time, they're experiencing fiery trials. Father, I pray that their hearts will be encouraged today by your word, that their faith will be bolstered and strengthened in you, Lord God, to know that you are faithful and that you will bring them through, Lord God. And Father, I pray that our lives would be strengthened, our lives would be perfected, our lives would be purified, and that our lives would bring you praise through everything that we go through. Have your way in our midst. In Jesus' name.